really such a huge honor for us to have at our booth today. One of the big draw cards for Comic-Con this year, American actor Sean Gunn, who is best known for his role as Kraglin in Guardians of the Galaxy. He's been here all weekend. I know he has been mobbed with fans. He's been interviewed on the main stage. It's his last day at Comic-Con today, so really, really glad you had time to spare for us, Sean. Thanks for popping in.
Oh my gosh, thanks for having me. It's been so wonderful to be here.
Is it your first time in Cape Town?
It is my first time. It's my first time really in this entire continent. So it's,
oh, wow.
It's been really eye-opening, but what a beautiful city, and everyone's been so friendly. It's been great.
I'm so glad you're enjoying it. How have you found the fans at Comic-Con? I mean, have you been mobbed everywhere you go?
Well, the best thing about Comic-Cons in general is that, you know, that geeks tend to be the same sort of everywhere. So there's a even though, you know, the country may be different and there are things about the city that are different, the fans are so welcoming, and the community of people who enjoy this this kind of thing is strong, and it's respectful, and it's such a cool place to see new people.
The one thing that really strikes me is how incredibly diverse and inclusive it is. I sort of came in here with an idea of what geek culture looked like, and I realized pretty quickly that was only a fraction of what is represented here.
Absolutely. And it's really my favorite thing about it. I mean, I'm very fortunate to be able to do what I do and to work in such a creative and cool industry, but being able to do these conventions where I quite literally get to visit the world and see the world, but also to see people in all these different places who have and they love it so much, and it's such a nice group of people, and at a time when I think that niceness is undervalued in the world, and it's really I really love it.
So let's talk about what it is that gets you here. I mean, you're the youngest of six children, I understand.
That's correct, yes.
And you're not the only one in the family in the movie business. Those who are true fans will know that you and your brother are kind of a package deal a lot of the time.
You know, my brother James is a very successful writer-director, we actually have three other brothers who are also in the entertainment industry.
Okay.
They do. Two of them are writers. One is works on the business side of things. And we're all very close. And James and I just happened to, our jobs fit one another because he's a creator and I'm a performer. And so we've been able to work together a lot over the years. And we trust each other. We really respect one another's work. And it's another really highlight of my career is that I'm able to work with my brother, who is not only my good friend, but is also really good at his job. And I think that we have the same goals in terms of telling great stories.
So now we all want to know the backstory of how a family produces that many creatives. Were your parents in the industry? Were you just born up doing a lot of theater?
No, I don't even really know. We grew up in Missouri, in the middle of the United States. Not a town, not a state known for its entertainment industry, and I don't know what it is really. We really loved television and movies and pop culture and music growing up, and we were really close in age, and sort of just kind of kept doing it. And we all found careers there through different paths. You know, James was in a rock band and had written a novel before he got to movies. I was always an actor, but I had a brother who had a comedy troupe, and another brother who wrote a political blog, and that we all sort of found the entertainment industry as we got older. And it's pretty strange and cool.
Pretty wonderful.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, Kraglin in Guardians of the Galaxy, the big role that most people know you for, but what they might not know is that you're also the motion reference actor for the character of Rocket.
Yes.
And I think we need to pause there and explain what a motion reference actor is for those who don't understand the term before we go any further.
Well, yeah, and a lot of people hear the term motion capture, which is subtly different. Motion reference is kind of our own. We had to figure out how to create Rocket sort of from the ground up for the first movie, because he was such a tricky character to animate and to make lifelike on the screen. So what I do is I play Rocket on set. So I'm really playing the scenes originally with the other actors, and then I actually get down to a crouch position. I would get my eyes to where Rocket's eyes are, and play the role down there. And the visual effects team started to use my movements to animate how Rocket was moving and where he was looking and what he was doing with his hands and things like that. And we found that that really worked on the first movie. And then, of course, Bradley Cooper comes in and does the voice of Rocket and kind of puts the whole performance together later in the process. Mm-hmm. So it's really a whole team of people that creates Rocket, and I'm happy to be a member of that team, but I'm sort of in there in the water first, so to speak.
Yeah, crouching down on the ground for long periods, yeah. That can't be a whole lot of fun, physically speaking.
Well, you know, I've done 6 movies now as Rocket, and I was, you know, 11 years younger when I did my first one, and I think I'm now retired from playing Rocket in the movies, because I'm about to turn 50, and my ankles and my feet can't quite hold up the way that they used to. So, yeah, it was a little bit taxing physically, but I wouldn't trade it for anything.
Just for anybody who's coming in midway to the interview, we're in conversation at Comic-Con Cape Town with American actor Sean Gunn. Many of you know him from Guardians of the Galaxy, the character of Kraglin. His brother James Gunn has directed him in many of those Guardians movies. They worked together on the Suicide Squad film as well. Your brother, if I'm not mistaken, is stepping away from the next Guardians movie, though, as director. Am I right?
Yeah, he's moved on to... he's now taken over the DC universe. So he's moved on to DC. He's the head of the DC studio now.
Right.
And so he's got a lot of projects. We worked on a piece called Creature Commandos, where you'll see Weasel, who was in Suicide Squad. Mm-hmm. And I voice another character in that as well. That's an animated show coming out later this year that's really cool. But he's working on Superman right now, which is the big sort of next thing for him. So he's sort of migrated from one big superhero company to the other.
Speaking of, I mean, revisiting classics like that, do you imagine a future one day where Guardians of the Galaxy is going to get a reboot from some new director 30 years from now, and they'll be looking at you like we look at Christopher Reeve now?
I bet it will. Who knows? It's hard. You can never predict where things are going to go in the entertainment industry, but yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to see a brand new Guardians of the Galaxy somewhere decades down the line.
Yeah. Sean, what about the impact or the future impact of artificial intelligence on the movie business? Particularly, you've just described what we went through creating Rockets.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a big stretch to imagine a world not too far from now where computerization takes over a lot of those jobs.
Yeah, I think that AI is going to have a big effect on the entertainment industry, particularly for things like that, for animation and digital. Being able to recreate digital characters and digital worlds. We talked a lot about that when we had our last labor talks and the strike that we had in the Screen Actors Guild last year, and there's a lot of talk about AI, which is a super complicated issue. There's so many, it's a Pandora's box. There's so many different elements to it that are kind of hard to navigate. And I always sort of think that in a way we're lucky, because I actually think AI will probably have as much of an effect on any other industry as it will on ours. I mean, it's going to have such a big effect on medicine and on education and things like that. One thing we're fortunate about is that one of the hardest things for AI to learn how to do is to tell new and interesting stories. So we're always going to need humans for that, at least. I mean, we'll see how good the technology gets. Mm-hmm. But I think at least for the next couple of decades, we're going to need human beings to be the real storytellers at the end of the day. And that's what we do. The animation part of it, that technology will always change one way or another. You can't rely on that to stay the same. But humans telling stories that other humans want to hear and find interesting, that's the real kernel of what we do. And hopefully that will stay the same.
I mean, it makes so much sense. AI can scan and collate what's already been done, but that the original spark of creativity, it can't replicate. I mean, Sean, if you look back to where you started in your acting career, what's something that you take for granted as part of your daytime job now that you couldn't have imagined 20 years ago or even 30 years ago?
Well, this, actually, being in places like a Comic-Con, you know, having, when you get into my field, you always factor in that it could go well enough that you would get some sense of fame or notoriety. So that was always on my radar. It's never the goal. The goal is always the work. But it's nice to be recognized because you know people see and admire your work. So that's the nice thing about being known. But being able to come to a convention like this in a faraway country, really the opposite side of the world from where I live and where I grew up, and to have so many people know my work and to have seen it, it's very humbling and it's very gratifying. It's something that I try to be grateful for all the time, because when I started, I just wanted to make a living in the industry. I just wanted to be able to pay my bills and my rent by being an actor, and so I'm really, really grateful for everything that's happened.
When was the first time you got recognized? Do you remember that moment where somebody turned around and said,
"Yeah,
oh,
I
my
was."
Word.
It was from. I think it must have been from a TV show I did called Gilmore Girls, which still lot of fans even here. And it's on Netflix, so the Gilmore Girls fans always are. There's always a new crop every season, but. I think I was first recognized for Gilmore Girls probably, you know, almost 25 years ago, probably 23 years ago, in a mall. And I thought someone was staring at me, and I was a little creeped out by it. And they're like, "Are you on that television show?" And I was very thrown by it, but I was also very happy. It was great.
So of course, now you'd grab your phone and tweet, "Somebody just recognized me in the mall." I mean, that's one of the things that's changed as well, is your ability to sort of project yourself into social media and spaces like this. So just to wrap up the conversation, Sean, I mean, your first time not just in Cape Town, not just in South Africa, but on the African continent, the city is certainly showing off for you today. Over our shoulder, beautiful blue skies, sunshine, and I hope you're going to have a chance to explore Cape Town a bit while you're here.
I have had the chance already a little bit. Went and I saw the penguins, which were delightful, cool. And we just kind of drove along the coast and went to Cape Point, and it's so pretty, and it reminds me of home a little bit. I live in Southern California along the coast, and so there's parts of the ocean that feel familiar, which is always sort of a cool thing. But what a beautiful city! I'm hoping that next time I come, I can bring my wife and we can spend a little more time.
Well, I hope so too. For now, though, we need to let you get back to the fans. Final question then. I mean, you've still got the rest of today at Comic-Con. Are you doing any more talks, or is it just all about interacting with the fans now?
I think it's just interacting with the fans, although I think you ask the person who tells me where to go and what to, who props me up in front of people and says, "All right, time to talk now, Sean."
Okay. Well, Sean, it's a pleasure to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Before we let you know, just a quick question from one of our listeners coming through on WhatsApp, asking what your next project is.
I've been working a lot, actually. I've gotten, I just finished a couple of smaller indie films, which I love doing. But also I worked with my brother a bit on Superman and some other things coming on. I'm playing Maxwell Lord in the DC Universe, which is very, very cool. So keep an eye on the lookout for that. And for Creature Commandos, which will be on Max, I believe, later this year, and it's such a cool show.
Well, we will certainly keep an eye out for it, and great to have you part of the show today. Thanks
for making
time.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Sean Gunn, we'll let you go back to your fans waiting to mob you. If you're a fan of Guardians of the Galaxy, you will have recognized the voice. I'm sure you'll also recognize the video feed I know my producer's putting up on our social media channels. Stay with us for more from Comic-Con Cape Town.